Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 29th day of September 2005. Glad you've joined us. Having technological problems once again in the Greenville area today. Yesterday we thought we had some in Spartanburg, and apparently that's up and live and well there, but apparently downtown Greenville is going to have a bit of delay this morning. So once again, struggling with that, appreciate your forbearance over that, and we're going to do the best we can to get us all back up on the air. But right now, let's go have a quick check at the weather.
Hey, Dr. John, I noticed this morning it was something falling out of the sky. I haven't seen it in about 6 weeks. Today in Greenville, Spartanburg, about 70 degrees, 68 in Greenville downtown, 70 in Anderson and Clemson. Today will be mostly cloudy with numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms this morning. Scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon with a high in the lower 80s. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour and chance of rain about 60%. Of course, tonight, still partly cloudy but clearing. And tomorrow, we got a pretty day, high in the 70s, so enjoy the rain while you got it.
Okay, well, we'll try to do that as much as we possibly can. Well, this morning, Fox News headlines, big picture, Congressman Delay. He swears innocence. I don't know any congressman that can swear innocence. They're all guilty. They're all, except, well, Ron Paul will accept him. I don't know, maybe one or two others, but especially not Congressman DeLay. He's just a typical scumbag that's up there power hungry, ready to do what he can to thwart the American dream, to ruin the vision of the Founding Fathers and replace it with a globalist agenda. We don't have much respect for any of these goons. And here he is, swearing his innocence. He steps down, of course, according to the House rule that he has to when he's accused of something. He steps down from being the majority leader amidst this indictment. And Roy Blunt, Republican from Missouri, has become the interim replacement, if that's important news. At any rate, so much for the headlines for the day. Well, there's some more here. Here's one. FEMA closes Houston Relief Center amid criticism. Saying they were caught off guard by the number of people they need, FEMA officials closed a relief center early on Wednesday after some of hundreds of hurricane victims in line began fainting in triple-digit heat. Now, you think they just didn't turn on the air conditioning for what reason? Well, it's an interesting question. I wonder why this would happen that way. I mean, yesterday we read about people with $2,500 credit limits all of a sudden getting $250,000 credit limits so they can go help the victims. And then they reported all sorts of charges of people using prostitutes with it, going down and gambling, and they also had some reported activity transactions for getting breast implants done. So all these things were charged. Why couldn't they just charge, you know, some electricity if they really wanted to care for these people? And I don't know. It's an interesting question. Seems like somebody's really bungling the money situation. Are we surprised? No, because the state isn't very good or efficient at handling money. And what would you do if you were a government employee and given a $250,000 credit line all of a sudden that you don't have to pay for, the government will pay for? Well, Lord willing, you won't be using prostitutes, gambling services, and I assume not breast implants either. But, you can see how the temptation would be there to do just about anything, especially if you're the type of person who would use prostitutes, gambling, and breast implants. I don't know about breast, well, whatever. Not to get off on too much of a tangent there. The point is, I'm not sure. I think all of us would be tempted to do something, and especially people who have that, or are disposed to use those kind of action services, would probably be very tempted to go ahead and steal. Why not? After all, I mean, even yesterday, the public school employee, the vicar of goodness in the world, yesterday, the administrator in Abbeville was accused of embezzling $89,000 from Abbeville. It happens everywhere. It's just a typical government day. So anyway, Fox News is telling us that FEMA is closing this Houston Relief Center amid the criticism. The midday closing of the disaster relief came as officials in areas hit hardest by Hurricane Rita criticized FEMA's response to the storm, with one calling for a commission to examine the emergency response. Across southern Texas, the Federal Emergency Management Agency delivered ice, water, and packaged meal to residents who rode out last week's hurricane, which blew ashore at Sabine Pass in East Texas early Saturday. But the agency was not ready for the roughly 1,500 people displaced by Hurricane Rita and Katrina, who sought help at the Houston Center when it reopened Wednesday. The center, offering help from a variety of government and private organizations, initially opened for Katrina refugees. It closed last week when Houston was evacuated before Rita. The line started forming Tuesday night as temperatures reached record highs. Some people fainted and had to be carried off by police and other refugees. Well, you know, why not just let private charity do this? They're very capable of handling this sort of situation a lot better than the state, and especially FEMA, which has never really been in there to help people. I mean, this is supposed to be a cushy budget, big budget sort of job. You know, you give it to your cousin if you're the president, so he can make a good salary, retire well, and have something that, you know, important to talk about at dinner parties. And all of a sudden, you know, they actually have to do some work, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to help disaster relief victims. So they show up, and what do? Well, they fail. They just close it. Instead of just carrying them off when they faint and feeding them, they just turn them all away so they can all just wander around Houston. I guess. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they give them some bus fare on the way so they can, you know, take a bus ride to Phoenix or something and let them handle it. But at any rate, it seems like, you know, churches and other people with an incentive to help the needy would find a way to accomplish these ends in a way that bureaucrats, which have no such incentive, were not going to be able to do so. So at any rate, interesting story. We still haven't had anybody call in and tell me about this business about jet engines creating clouds and this supposed attack by the hurricane that was man-made. I'd like to hear some more. Somebody listening must know something about this theory that the United States government creates natural disasters by stirring up cloud patterns or electromagnetic fields or whatever the thing is, and starting a hurricane and aiming it at New Orleans. To me, it sounds completely unbelievable and preposterous. But someone did give me the Senate Bill 517 for the U.S. Senate, which is a bill entitled the Weather Modification Research Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005, when the purpose is to develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy and a national cooperative federal and state program of weather modification research and development. The term weather modification means changing or controlling or attempting to change or control by artificial methods the natural development of atmospheric cloud forms or precipitation forms which occur in the troposphere. So at any rate, we're looking for people to come and explain how this can be. It sounds crazy to me, but I'd be happy to listen to anyone who has got an idea for how it could be that the U.S. government is doing such a thing. We have a phone call on the line. We'd like to go to the phones now. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing this morning, Dr. Coben?
Fine, thanks.
This is James out of Spartanburg. I got something to throw at you this morning.
Okay, go ahead.
The Chinese yuan, you know, used to be pegged with the American dollar. Well, they changed it back in May, according to the New York Times and Christian Science and stuff. And it's going to cause the biggest deficit in the U.S. in about 20 years. Longer than the Great Depression.
Now, can you tell me, James? Can you tell me again what you said? What was pegged to the United States dollar for many years that's not anymore?
The Chinese yuan.
The yen.
Yeah, the dollar. It was like 8.28%.
Okay.
So, and they changed it according to Christian Science and. You ever read the Philadelphia Trumpet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that is a world Christian magazine that I get. Is a World Watch. It's in the World Watch. It's talking about Walmart has 70% of their products on the shelves all from China, and when they changed their yen to beat the American dollar. They have enough billions of dollars enough to buy oil. All the oil refineries in the U.S., they have, and it says here on from American Conservative, July 4th, it was saying that the regardless to what happens to the U.S. economy, China ain't going to change their way. And then they also got in there, an American Watch, about them building Russian ships, the old Russian Navy. They're rebuilding the Russian Navy, their aircraft carriers and stuff. It's pretty interesting. I know you were talking about China the other day, and I just wanted to, I know you're in economics and all that, and I just wanted to throw that your way.
Okay, well, I appreciate you doing that. I'm still trying to understand what's happening here. The exchange rates between fiat currencies are not fixed. They generally float, and the globalists enjoy that fact because they can profit from one end or the other, depending on you know, which side of the float you're on. If you have some inside information ahead of time, for instance, you can handle that and do well. What determines exchange rates largely depends on the supply of money in each individual country. So if, you know, the supply of money in China, I, for some reason it's not ringing a bell that it's called a yen in China. I guess I've just not looked at Chinese currency in a while, but whatever their currency is there, it will depend on how much is issued by their central bank, and vice versa here at the Federal Reserve System, the fraudulent reserve system here in the United States. So I'm not sure what to make of what you just said about that. As far as the trade deficit, I think you're talking about the trade deficit goes. I think trade deficits are typically blown out of proportion. All a trade deficit means, and I think liberals especially use trade deficits to cause hype because it sounds bad. You know, the deficit, the federal deficit or whatever is really high, the trade deficit. In fact, it might be good just to go over a couple things real quick, some terminology, and let's backtrack so I can make sure we have it all clear. There's a difference between the national debt and the federal budget deficit and the trade deficit. They're three distinct things. The national debt is the accumulation of all of the federal budget deficits, and a budget deficit is the annual amount that the federal government, at least on its books, is in the red. They may actually be further in the red because of these so-called off-budget items. But in general, the deficit is just the annual amount that they're in the red. The national debt is the accumulation of all those deficits, plus, of course, interest, which accrues at about $1 billion a day, and it's $8 trillion debt right now. The trade deficit is something entirely different. The trade deficit is the amount that we export is less than the amount that we import in general, and it can be country specific or it can be in general. So if you have a trade deficit with China, it means that we import more from China than we export to them. Now, why is it a problem to have a trade deficit? Well, theoretically, there's no problem at all. I mean, why does anybody care if we have a trade deficit? As long as we're buying things that we want from other countries, then who cares if they buy less back from us? There's nothing written that says we have to go ahead and have an equal balance. Walter Williams had a good column on this maybe a month ago, and he basically said, James, look, if I go down to the grocery store to buy my groceries, I don't expect that that grocer comes and buys something from me that I sell. I may sell insurance or financial services. Well, just because I buy my groceries at Bilo doesn't mean I expect the people from Bilo to come and buy them from me to make an equal trade, so they buy as much from me as I buy from them. Doesn't work that way, and it doesn't make any economic sense that it should be that way. So, having set those parameters, can you help me understand, James, exactly what you were driving at? Because I want to understand this a little better.
What they're doing, they're ruining the trade market, worldwide market. Something like $600 billion dollars. What they're doing, they're ruining the market on the trade value, and it's going to cause consumers in the U.S., like, let's say, realty markets and stuff like that, like Walmart there. Mm-hmm. It'll be like they're, in Neiman Marcus shopping because of the way we're going to have to raise prices and stuff because we are buying an awful lot from China. And according to this, what it's saying is it's going to cause us to be in a bigger depression than the Great Depression, causing hard times on everything, all money situation, because they're getting better value worldwide for their yen than the American dollar.
Okay.
Is, you know what I'm saying? It's more profitable for the China yen than the American dollar is in the world.
Okay, well that's a different issue entirely. This is somewhat confusing to me just thinking about the economics of this. There are too many issues. We got the issue of price changing, which you can't arbitrarily raise prices in any competitive environment. Now, if we're talking about a monopoly, we can. I'm not sure what monopoly we're talking about, so I hate to be so technical here, James, but I'm just having a hard time understanding the economics of this. And you know what? It's time for a break, but if you want to hold on during the break, let's talk about this for a minute, and then when we come back, we'll carry on. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Okay, we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Sorry about the commercial break getting mixed in with the discussion we were having with James during the break there, folks. We were just informed that we were hearing double cast, or whatever you want to call it, during that time. We'll check with our junior producer here and figure out what happened next time. We'll rebuke him, chastise him, and correct him on his way, so we'll never do that again. I'm kidding, of course. But at any rate, James was on the line over the break, and we were talking about, and I think James is not on the line anymore, is that right? Okay. We were talking about this issue. It sounds to me, frankly, after listening to this, and it could be that I need to go to this Philadelphia Trumpeter and read up it, because I wasn't quite getting what James was saying. It was something to the effect that China was going to have an alliance with Russia and some other countries, and they were somehow going to flex their economic muscle and through currency devaluation or exchanging and trading and somehow destroy us. Up here in America. Now, this to me, it's hard to understand what he's saying about this, because it doesn't make any economic sense to me. if there is free trade, if there is a booming economy in Russia or a booming economy anywhere in the world, and consumers have the free choice to buy and sell what they want, there cannot be anything but mutually beneficial gains from trade. That's one of the so-called miracles of economics. Everybody thinks they're better off when they're trading. Nobody is forced to buy anything. Now, if there's force involved and coercion, then yes, indeed, there can be a terrible thing that results from any kind of monopoly or any kind of coercive, you know, system. It's kind of like someone sticking you up with a gun and saying, trade with me. That would be a problem. But as long as trade is free and people can voluntarily buy stuff from China or Russia or wherever else they want, then Americans who do so will feel like they're better off, and the Chinese who sell it to them will feel better off, and everybody will actually be wealthier. That's how the wealth spiral works. So it doesn't sound to me like, if perhaps the Philadelphia Trumper, and I don't know, I haven't read it, but perhaps there are people that really don't know a whole lot about economics who are making these kinds of statements, because I don't know. I just don't understand what the whole thing is that's being discussed there. If someone wants to call back in and talk about this some more, I'd be happy to do so. But at this point, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'll leave that as it is for right now. Well, here's an article I wanted to get to yesterday, and this is from Dr. Eric Schonsberg. I remember I said I was going to read something from Dr. Schonsberg from the University of Indiana University at New Albany, which is right across the river there from Louisville. And I'm thinking, what river is that? That's the Ohio River, isn't it? Isn't that the Ohio River that goes between Louisville or around Louisville? I think so. But at any rate, he's over there at that university. He is a Christian. He is a pro-life libertarian. He is rare in the academic ranks. In fact, he's an economist. The only place he could get a job is at the business school, because they don't scrutinize too much in business schools. Very hard, other than at George Mason University, to get into any graduate faculty in the state university system or large university systems if you're a free market economist and or a Christian and or pro-life, probably, for that matter. I mean, it's just not very common. They don't like us in these places, and you can imagine why. At any rate, here he writes an interesting little piece on afterthoughts of the aftermath of the New Orleans flood. So we want to be able to read what he says. It's a little bit lengthy, but not too bad, and I think it's interesting food for thought. He says, a month after the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, the debacle of the ineffective levees surrounding New Orleans, and a disappointment with the government's relief efforts, let's look back at the lessons we should have learned from this disaster. First, the disaster was much more about the flood than the hurricane. Many people seem to be missing this point. The overestimation of Hurricane Rita's predicted impact is one symptom. Another side effect is that, relatively speaking, the damage wrought by Katrina outside of New Orleans was ignored by the media. When we think about the devastation of hurricanes, unfortunately, we're far more likely to remember flooded New Orleans than flattened coastal Mississippi. Second, the blame game never ends and rarely takes a break. It was good to see that Democrats and Republicans wait, a few hours before they get started blaming each other. Instead of a dispassionate analysis of the debacle after the dust had settled, we were mostly left with partisan hacks throwing mud at each other, or almost as soon as they could grab a handful. Third, all levels of governments bear some blame for the debacle. The federal government could have responded quicker and better, but the state and local plans were woefully inadequate and their implementation was inept. Anyone who tries to ascribe blame only to one level of government is remarkably blind or politically motivated. Fourth, the federal government bore too much blame and is now trying to bear too much responsibility. Why do people expect the federal government to be the chief solution to an essentially state and local problem? The federal government is not especially competent. It's out of their jurisdiction, and it's not as if they don't have enough to do already. And not surprisingly, local officials want boatloads of federal taxpayer dollars while being given as much control as possible over how those resources will be spent. Fifth, far too many people depend on government for far too much. Let me get this straight. Government failed at all levels, before, during, and after the disaster. So the solution is to get the government much more involved. Remember, for the last 40 years, the federal and state governments have been busy subsidizing bad decisions by individuals through public policy. The result, many people have been left unable to make decisions to promote their own well-being, or unwilling to do so, knowing that the government would probably bail them out. Natural disaster plus government ineptitude plus sin nature equals a debacle of biblical proportions. Politicians, sixthly, really enjoy spending taxpayer money. President Bush has said he wants to spend $200 billion post-Katrina and cut spending elsewhere so that overall spending does not increase. He might as well say he'd like to see cows fly. The few Republican fiscal conservatives in Congress have run with this charge of proposing Operation Offset, a plan to reduce pork barrel highway spending and to postpone recently passed prescription benefit for seniors. For their efforts, they have already been browbeaten by the House leadership, and Bush has repeatedly shown he has no stomach for backbone for fiscal discipline. Your taxes, seventhly, will rise dramatically. Bush says he is committed to not raise taxes. If so, this means an increase in the national debt. In other words, higher future taxes. At this point, Congress is now looking to spend $250 billion over and above the amount that private insurance claims will pay. This turns out to be more than $3,300 in taxes from the average family of four, and almost $200,000 per person in the New Orleans metropolitan statistical area before the flood. Honestly and candor would require a mention of the spending's impact on taxes. Unfortunately, another Category 5 hurricane is more likely. I appreciate Eric's candid remarks. Of course, he's not giving anything but a positive analysis from an economist, looking at things as they're given. If we wanted to get some normative analysis, we might also find some critiques, more severe critiques, although he's got a few in here, of the actual Republican government that's running things and the wild and crazy spending that they're trying to pull off and how they're trying to raise your taxes. Basically, he could just go off and tell you how corrupt these guys are and how he dislikes them, which he does. I suppose he's writing for a general audience and trying to be nice and put on the kid gloves. Eric's good at that. I've never have been very good at that. That's probably why he's got an academic job and I don't. If I would just put on kid gloves and not lie, but be a little more sensitive to people, I probably wouldn't have so much trouble as I do. But, you know, that's why he's there and I'm here and he serves his purpose there, and he's helping people understand gently that the government's lying to them. They're going to raise their taxes. They're going to increase the debt. He didn't mention that. That could be one thing they could do as well, which one day will be repudiated and it'll be a great disaster. That means buy a little bit of gold and silver and some brass and lead for yourself. Other than that, we also have a total shakedown of the federal FEMA agency, when really there was a failure far beyond that. It wasn't just the federal government or even the state governments that failed. It was a failure of the welfare state to promote welfareism in the United States and promote things that retard the activities of private charity. We all have heard the stories of how FEMA basically stopped private charities from showing up there and helping people because they wanted to have control. We've all heard the other stories, which are horrible, about people being pulled out of their homes and guns taken and things like that, and how the military-style activities basically brought martial law in New Orleans, and denying completely the Posse Comitatus Act, which is there to protect us from having federal troops being used against common citizens. That seems to be eroding faster and faster. Ever since Waco, it's been eroding, but it's even more so now, under the guise of other more lofty kinds of goals of the state. And beyond that, we have we've seen now Bush deciding that FEMA is not really good for this, at any rate. What we need to do, instead of using FEMA, is have the Pentagon run all relief efforts. That's a good first step into having complete military control, isn't it? Well, nothing would surprise us with George W. Bush, the dictator, but that's exactly where it seems to be going. I had a good Southern Baptist pastor and friend of mine here last night telling me that he would prefer, he said, figuratively, of course, to kiss Bill Clinton on the lips right now than have George W. Bush in office. Why? Because George W. Bush is scary. He's not only shady like Bill Clinton is, and even though he didn't have his vast immoral foibles published for everyone to see, or maybe he's been doing them, or maybe not, I don't know, Bush, he has been bringing us into a greater, more perilous and more precarious situation in terms of government policy than Clinton ever did. More spending, we got more spending, we've got more terrorism, we've got fewer rights, we've got bigger government, and we've got more intrusions into the liberties of the Founding Fathers. Bush is a scary guy, folks. If you think he should be on your side, because he's a Christian, you've been vastly deceived, and his strategy has worked to dupe the evangelicals on the right. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to go to our top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 29th day, is it 29th? No, it's 28th day. 28th, isn't it? 29th? 29th day of
29th.
September. Okay, 29th day of September 2005. Forgetting our dates here all of a sudden. And we're having some technical problems getting Greenville signal up this morning, but hopefully it will be shortly if it's not already. And let's have a quick look at the weather before we go on.
Well, it's mostly cloudy still out there, a lot of fog, so be careful when you're driving. There'll be scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning. Highs in the lower 80s. Right now it's 70 degrees at the airport in Greenville, 68 downtown, and Anderson and Clemson are both experiencing 70-degree weather. So a chance of rain today, and the rest of the day, 30%. With west winds 5 to 10 miles an hour and partly cloudy this evening. And then tomorrow is supposed to be mostly sunny, so we ought to have a pretty day, so enjoy the rain while you can.
Okay, yeah, that we haven't had a lot of rain up here. It's really noticeable after it doesn't rain in South Carolina for, what has it been, 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, the grass is starting to crack underfoot, so this should help some.
Man, oh. Well, hopefully so. Okay, well, let's go back to a couple other things. But before we do, I have to announce for you the Stephen Yates book again. This is the Worldviews Project book called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. That's from Stephen Yates, Ph.D., our local philosopher. If you want a copy of this book, you can jot down this address if you can. It's to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, obviously, 29615. The price is $20.99, but if you mention you're a member of the Constitution Party, and I assume the Libertarian Party, the price is only $18.99 plus the $2.50 shipping. So I hope you will get a copy of Stephen Yates' book, The Worldviews Project, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, 29615. We also have some other stories to talk about, don't we? Well, we talked about DeLay a little bit, Tom DeLay or DeLay or however you pronounce this guy's name, DeLay, right? He's a Republican from Texas, same state as our friend Ron Paul, who's a libertarian in disguise, wearing the, he's a libertarian in the wolf's clothing, that is the Republican's clothing. He said Wednesday he would temporarily step down, that is this DeLay fellow, as House Majority Leader after he had two political associates, or he and two political associates, were charged by a Texas grand jury with conspiracy in a campaign finance scheme. In accordance with the House, with the rules of the House Republican Conference, I will temporarily step aside as floor leader in order to win exoneration from these baseless charges, DeLay told reporters. The indictment charges that DeLay 58 conspired to have corporate contributions funneled through his political action committee to help Republican state candidates. The $155,000 in funds from companies, including Sears Roebuck, was allegedly handed over from the Political Action Committee and a $190,000 check to the Republican National Committee, which was also given a list of Texas State House candidates and the sums they were to receive. The indictment included a copy of the check. So at any rate, DeLay's in trouble. He's about to step or he's stepping aside here, and that's the big story of the morning, at any rate. And well, it's always news, isn't it, when you have these kinds of bums out there. Let me give you a quick plug, too, for the TyrannyResponse.com and TyrannyResponse.net website. This is our website, and we hope that you'll have a chance to visit. There are a number of things that are worth seeing there, including the audio programs that have the Liberty Minutes, as well as recorded shows for the last 3 days. The Listen Live button is available to anyone who can't get us on the over the air. We have people listening on different parts of the country. Well, you can simply go to TyrannyResponse.com and press the Listen Live button. You may require you to get Real Player or this iTunes program to work, but you will be able to listen to the broadcast over the internet from wherever you are in the world. Encourage people to do that. Also, there's some interesting things to go and find out there. For instance, we have a calendar right under the Events tab on the TyrannyResponse.net website. And the calendar tells you what kind of things are going on this particular week. For instance, last night there was a Libertarian Party meetup in downtown Greenville. Tonight there is a meeting at 7 o'clock at the downtown Greenville Library of the Constitution Party and the Greenville Taxpayers Association to talk about free trade issues and immigration issues, as well as a few other items on the agenda. That would be interesting to attend if you can make it out to downtown Greenville tonight. On Saturday at 12:30, there are two events actually on Saturday. The one at 12:30 is lunch at the Prime Sirloin, followed by the Carolina Patriots meeting from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Up in Asheville, there will be another meeting in the afternoon. In fact, one of our major TRN staff members is going to be attending this. It's a workshop hosted by Mr. Ed Waller on Peter Hendrickson's book, Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America. That'll be on this Saturday from 1 in the afternoon till 5 in the afternoon at the Mills River Community Center near the Asheville Airport in North Carolina. The cost for this workshop is $75 per person or $125 per couple prepaid or $100 per person at the door. So at any rate, if you want to get ahead and save a few bucks and attend this thing, find out why this book has been so influential and they have not been able to indict this guy because he's telling the truth, you can give Ed Waller a call at 828-684-3365. That's 828-684-3365. Or you can send an email to him at ewahler@bellsouth.net. ewahler@bellsouth.net. Again, his phone number is 828-684-3365. So a lot of things going on in the upstate this week, and check that calendar to find out what's happening, because Rip and Richie does a great job of keeping it updated. If you go over to the audio tabs, I said you're going to find our Liberty Minutes programs, which are important, and many people who have an opportunity to listen to the TRN during the day enjoy hearing those. In fact, a Presbyterian pastor, I won't mention his name, but a local Presbyterian pastor from the upstate, just the latest example of many who call me about the Liberty Minutes program, saying something like, "Wow, I just heard what you said about the nature of the state. I haven't heard anything like this before. I'd like to meet with you for lunch. Can you sit down and give me a couple hours and give me a quick course in this?" I'm more than happy to do so. It's part of the so-called ministry, what we do here. And I'm happy to meet with folks who have influence on other people who are trying to get a well-worked-out theology of public policy. This particular pastor was really struggling with being a divine writer. He knew it was inconsistent, illogical, wrong, and all of that, all of the above. But as a Presbyterian, he was not willing to be consistent and take the leap that he needed to take and go full bore and be a regular old theonomist, you know, run-of-the-mill type. And he just wasn't willing to do that because there were certain things he didn't quite like about and he'd heard about it and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, if he's going to be active in his Christian duty, in his service, and he's going to be consistent to his Presbyterian principles, there's no way you can land any other place as far as I'm concerned. Now, obviously, not being a theonomist, promoting liberty of conscience, I can say that just because I know the logical structure, and I appreciate the logical structure of the men who have gone into the Presbyterian circles and have become very clear on this. And so anyway, I encouraged him, look, you can't just arbitrarily pick out what you like here and have government enforce it. The state all of a sudden is the great enforcer of rules against pornography and homosexuality. But when it comes to adultery, you know, you're not going to stone them because, you know, that's just too common a sin or whatever the reason is. When it comes to fornication or when it comes to, you know, any number of other things which were penalized in the Old Testament, no, we're not going to do that. We have our favored sins that we believe we can have government enforce. But what he's really struggling with was the whole issue of how to interpret, you know, Romans 13. He's talking to his elder board and others and trying to train them about the Westminster Confession and what it has to say with respect to the state. And he said, what would you do? How would you open this meeting up with these elders? And I said, what I would do is turn to Romans chapter 13, as I've done many times on the show. In fact, I'll do it again right now. And as you turn to Romans 13, one of these seminal and very important passages in the Bible dealing with government, with the state, with how do we understand what God's work is with the state in the world? You go to Romans 13, 1 through 7. You also go to 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, and Titus 3, 1, as well as a multitude of other passages. But you go to especially to Romans 13, and everywhere you see the word governing authorities occur, that phrase, governing authorities, or the pronoun, or the minister of God, any of those things, you insert the rulers of the day, especially Nero, and I like to throw in Herod as well, because they're two well-known state figures from the day. And when you do that, you are accurately portraying the way that first century believers would have received this passage, this letter from Paul, in Rome. They lived, and the letter was written when Nero was in power. And many of them who also read it from outside would have known about Herod. And so it's very accurate to replace these things here, and I want you to listen how it sounds when I replace those words with the names of the actual rulers. If you know something about Nero and something about Herod, remember Herod, one of the Herods at any rate, murdered all the children under age 2 trying to get Christ, remember that, when he talked to the Magi and tried to trick them. You remember Nero burned the city of Rome, at least 2/3 of it, blamed the Christians for it, lit up his gardens at night with Christians, impaled them on poles, dipped them in tar, and all that. He also murdered his own mother, was an adulterer, was a thief, broke every one of the Ten Commandments. So that's the kind of guy Nero was. Well, here's what Paul says in Romans 13. And this is what I suggested this Presbyterian pastor do when he's talking to his men. Read like this. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject to Nero and Herod. For there is no authority except from God, and Nero and Herod are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists Nero and Herod resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For Nero and Herod are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of Nero and Herod? Do what is good, and you will have praise from Nero and Herod. For Nero and Herod are God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for Nero and Herod do not bear the sword in vain. For Nero and Herod are God's ministers, avengers to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only for because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for Nero and Herod are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I hope you're mulling over that as you read that. Is there something of a disconnect for you there? Does something not seem clear? This is the shocker, isn't it? When you start reading it in the cultural and the historic and cultural context in which those first century Romans lived, you begin to think, Paul, were you out of your mind? We're going to answer that question when we come back. It's time for a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Stay tuned. We'll have more discussion about this when we get back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us once again today, and wanted to remind you about a couple other things on the policyofliberty.net website before we go back to our very important discussion. One of which is to sign the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It's located under the Related Media tab there on the website. Scroll down to where you see South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Click on that and sign it. It'll take you 30 seconds to do so and make a little plug for liberty in your life today. Please take some time to go to that tab under Related Media on tyrannyresponse.com and sign it. Also remember that the audio files and the text files for Liberty Minutes and the other teaching ministries of the Tyranny Response Network are located at policyofliberty.net. There's also a list of them at libertarianchristians.org and at tyrannyresponse.com in case you want to pass them out to friends. They're all available to do so. Just download them off the computer, either burn them onto a CD or onto a USB thumb drive, and you can give them out freely to anyone, or just send them the link by email and they can download them themselves. There's also a tab there for it says contacts. We're seeking volunteers to help us at the Tyranny Response Network for a couple things. One is to produce the Christian Worldview show. Another is to, and just part-time here and there a couple times a month, another is to actually help us with technological problems we have, computer issues, networking issues, and radio signal issues. If you're able to help with any of these things, please go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and give a buzz to somebody there by clicking on the any name you see, and we'll put you in touch with the right people. You can also leave a message for Chuck at 271-6761. That's 271-6761. If you're able to get to a phone, 271-6761, and not able to get on the internet. We're talking about this very important topic in Romans 13, 1-7. And the Apostle Paul, for many people, if they were to understand the historical context, would have to be said to be insane. Because there is no way that this passage can apply to Nero and mean what it says on its face without some better interpretation, without some clearer, deeper interpretation and understanding of the passage. And when I say that, I mean to go into to the Greek and understand that Paul used a different word if evil for evil, kakon, than he was using for most of chapter 12, which was the word poneros, which is a far stronger word for evil. The word that Paul uses here for evil could be translated even misdeeds. It could be, you know, something wickedness, but it could also be misdeeds, the broader word. But Paul deliberately changes his use of the word. Also, when we see the word to be subject, it is in the Greek tense. It's a passive. It's a present passive tense. So it's something that to the effect, look, if you're walking through the gates and they tell you, pay the tax, then you're going to say, okay, I'll pay it. But you're not going to scour the tax code in order to figure out what you might owe or not owe, and not be worried all day long about what government decrees have to say. It's not an active present verb, it's a passive present. So there's a couple clues in the text itself. But more than that, we have to understand within the cultural context what Paul might be trying to get across here. And there are basically three ways that you can understand this, and I was explaining this to this Presbyterian pastor. One is you can just sort of ignore it all and say, well, I just believe that Nero was an imperfect guy, you know, who generally did good things and brought civil order and law to the society in Rome, and that it was a pretty good deal. Paul wasn't really out of his mind, nor Peter, when they wrote what they said here. That's one, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the head in the sand, divine right sort of approach. The other approach, which also could make sense, is to do what Greg Bahnsen does, of course, a famous Christian Reconstructionist in the last century. And he says, look, basically this is talking about the idealized state. This has no application to what really happened on Rome. Paul is just telling you what it should be like later on. It had nothing to do with Nero and with Herod here. All Paul is telling you that if there's a governing authority, it should be one that upholds God's law and enforces it in the world. And although that's not now in Rome, it will be in the future at some point, certainly during the postmillennial or golden age. That's another way to look at it, and it, of course, there's some, you know, criticisms you could level at that as well, but at least it makes some more sense. He's being honest with the text and saying Paul was not writing about Nero when he's saying to Nero, if you resist Nero and Herod, you're resisting the ordinance of God, and Nero and Herod are not a terror to good works, but to evil works. That's not true if you're going to take the words good and evil to mean what God says is good and evil. Just not clear. Do you want to be unafraid of Nero and Herod? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Just didn't happen. I mean, it's preposterous to say that in the sense of using those terms good and evil in that way. And that brings you to the third position, which is a liberty of conscience point of view, a position which I hold, and that's that the words good and evil here are specifically different than elsewhere in the scriptures in the way they're used, and not entirely, but especially in this passage. The words good and evil are defined according to not what God says is good and evil, but according to what Nero or any ruler would say is good or evil according to his own cultural norm. So yes, Paul was writing about Nero and Herod or whoever else in that particular age, but he was not saying that these people were a terror to what God thinks were good works. Let me rephrase that. He was not saying that rulers are not a terror to good works that God thinks are good works, but to evil works that God thinks are evil. He was saying rulers are a terror to evil that is defined by what the ruler says is evil. They reward those who do good, who and praise those who do good, whom they think are doing good, which might be a blasphemer, an adulterer, a murderer, and so forth. So I said, if you read that passage with those words in there and how the first century would have had to understand it, the first century hearers would have heard it, it gives you a very different way to interpret or understand the passage. It's completely, completely out of context with most modern evangelicalism. All right, well, having said all that and giving my little commercial for the webpage and so forth, hope you'll visit and hope you'll participate and use it from time to time. We have a couple other things to discuss here, and I'd like to go down and get a few things from the research staff that they've passed on to us. First of all, we have just how profound is this statement from Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee. They do not know what they say. If it came to a conflict of arms, the war will last at least 4 years. Northern politicians will not appreciate the determination and pluck of the South, and Southern politicians do not appreciate the numbers, resources, and patient perseverance of the North. Both sides forget that we are all Americans. I foresee that our country will pass through a terrible ordeal, a necessary expiation, perhaps, for our national sins. Well, okay, I've already had some comments about national sins in the past. I don't think they exist, but I do appreciate Robert E. Lee very much. What a wonderful man of God he was. We also have a message that came in this morning from Pastor Tony, and he wants to let us know that this hate crimes thing is really appalling. And he says, if you read this link at the above from Truth Tellers, you'll find out exactly why. And I'd like to do that for a minute. In fact, this whole hate crimes thing is getting worse and worse. They're tacking it on to all sorts of different bills and making it harder and harder for Christians to last in the world without being persecuted, at least in America. He says, the article says, is entitled, New Federal Hate Bill Means a Funeral of Free Speech. Now, this is from Reverend Ted Pike, from whatever we might think about Ted Pike in general, we want to always remember to read with an open mind because he has a lot of good things to say. On September 14th, the U.S. House of Representatives passed 223-199, the ominous federal anti-hate bill, the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Protection Act of 2005. It was inserted as Amendment 2662 into the Children's Safety Act. If approved, unaltered by the Senate Judiciary, the legislation is already for the President to sign into law. Here is a summary of what the bill would make law. Although Amendment 2662 ostensibly empowers the government to assist states in prosecution of violent hate crimes, its actual effect will be much more far-reaching. It will lead to the enforcement of the working definitions of hate and hate crimes, which are enforced by the many anti-hate bureaucracies in countries throughout the Western industrialized world. In such countries, it is now a hate crime to criticize members of federally protected groups, such as Jews and homosexuals. Utilizing such definitions, hate crime indictments have been made or are currently being pursued in Canada, England, Sweden, Germany, Italy, Australia, New Zealand. Amendment 2662 builds a foundation for hate crimes bureaucracy in America, also ending free speech. And some of the specially protected groups under the amendments include homosexuals, women who claims her boyfriend used a sexist word against her and raped her at the time they last had sex and pressed charges, for instance, Jews, and many others. It would also end free speech on radio. Well, it probably won't end it here because I guess they could just come and haul away the tyranny response unit if they choose to, but we'll just go ahead and preach the truth no matter what. How many people are willing to do that? I'm wondering how many pastors are going to cower before the great federal hand, or how many divine writers are going to say, well, it's the government, it's the ordained authority, and I just need to obey them and stop talking about these sorts of things. There'll be many who do. It's sad, but that's the state of our church today. But at any rate, free speech on the radio is going to be curtailed. They'll be hunting people down if this thing passes, and it sure looks like there's going to be a federal takeover of local law enforcement, he says. And, of course, this is a vast violation of the Constitution. So we're very concerned about this Amendment 2662 that's been tacked onto the child safety laws, and we're concerned that we end up moving more and more towards a police state. Sad but true. We also have a town hall meeting to remind you about, once again, the Greenville County Taxpayers Association town hall meeting with the Constitutional Party. We'll be discussing the World Trade Organization, North American Trade, NAFTA, CAFTA, and FTAA. I'm not going to read all these things out. You all know what they are. If you want to go, It's tonight at 7 o'clock at the downtown Greenville Library Auditorium Room, and we hope that you do go. Get involved with the upstate and with the politics going on here. And here from Debbie Kidd is an IRS action alert. She published this on newswithviews.com. The man who really counts the world, who counts in the world is the doer, said Teddy Roosevelt. Not that we like Teddy Roosevelt in general, but it's a good quote. You always find a few good gems in the midst of the swine. IRS action alert by Debbie Kidd. Early this year, a party in tax court made the argument that the current 6020 regulation, 26 CFR 301-.6020, had never been adopted as a formal regulation pursuant to the Administrative Procedure Act. Within a month of making that argument, IRS proposed a completely new regulation for 26 USC 6020. On July 18th, notice as such was published in the Federal Register stating that comments to the regulation can be made until October 17th. Here's a quick summary of the issue. The proposed regulation does not list or describe the form prescribed by the secretary that is valid for an... I can't read all this stuff on here. It's too dry. Let me get to the punchline here. All right, on this side, there's a particular site you can go to talk about this or look at this, but it's just going to be too dry to read on the air here, according to Larry Beecraft. Some people are just worth reading on the air and some aren't. There is some stuff going on, folks, with the IRS right now that you need to know about. They're trying to manipulate and do something that's wrong. You go to newswithviews.com, see if you can put your petition in, your protest in about the way they're handling the Federal Code of Federal Regulations with respect to the IRS code, and issue your complaint. That's what she's suggesting that you do. And you need to get up to this website. You need to know how to send your comments and objections, and do so by going to newswithviews.com. Do a /DEVVY, D-E-V-V, that's two, like VV and Victor Y, and find out what she has to say and where you should go. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly.
Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
Oh, and we're shocking you today. I know, we shock every day, but that's what we're here for. We're a shocking station because the other people will lull you to sleep, tell you everything is okay, complain about a few bits and pieces, and then just re-elect George Bush or Bill Clinton or any other scoundrel that tries to undermine the principles of the Founding Father. So, and we'll also just go along with the lollygag crew at the local evangelical helm, or even the national evangelical helm, that just has their head in the sand and actually follows along like the Pied Piper. Well, at any rate, a couple other things to mention here before we continue on with our crusade for the truth. And one is to mention a great helper in the crusade for the truth, the Times Examiner. That's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. You can call to get signed up for a subscription at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad on the Times Examiner, you can do so by calling David. Ask for David specifically at 859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Help your business and help the Times Examiner. 864-859-6817. Get a copy of the Times Examiner and get a subscription today. If you're driving along and you've missed any of these directions or phone numbers, remember you can always go to tyrannyresponse.com and look it up right there. It's there for you, to see. This afternoon's show, if you're driving back home at 4:30 to 6, hopefully the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse will be aired. It's been having some tech problems getting on the air, I know, but Richie is planning to do a show on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday afternoon, 4:30 to 6. So hopefully you can tune in this afternoon and every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday afternoon and listen to Rip and Richie Williams on the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. And finally, we want to mention that the Greenville Conference of the Christian Exodus will be held in just a little over 2 weeks, October 15th, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., that's Saturday, at the downtown Hilton Hotel in Greenville. There are going to be workshops, a question and answer period, there's going to be some seminars and some presentations about Christian Exodus feasibility, likelihood of success, discussion from the members here locally as well as others coming in, as well as some vendor tables, realtors, home builders, employers, etc., who are willing to help out the Christian Exodus folks. I hope you can attend the conference. Its cost is $40. You can register by calling 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578 for the Christian Exodus. $40. The speakers include yours truly, Michael Chapman, Arthur Bringelson, and Corey Burnell, the president of the Christian Exodus. Once again, the phone number, 877-727-3578. Well, here's an article that was sent in about covenant marriage. We like covenant marriage, and this is a website called covenantmarriage.com, and there is a symbol up there that says the Covenant Marriage Movement. Well, why do we love, it says. Think about it. Have you thought about where love comes from? Do you know why you love? Have you wondered about love and marriage, a husband and wife living to love and loving to live together? Recently, I had a privilege of guiding a couple through a premarital counseling and officiating their wedding. Jessica and Scott are in love. Now, after several months of marriage, our love grows and is being refined by God. Jessica and Scott represent one more couple included in this legacy that is marriage. Marriage is ordained and established by God to reveal His love through husband and wife. Where does love come from? Why do we have love? We love because He first loved us. That means He takes the initiative. Since God is love, He created us for His love. He gets the credit. God is love. This is who He is and what He does. For God so loved the world that He gave the gift of love. Jessica and Scott are in love. They have a natural human love for each other. However, since both are Christians, they enjoyed a higher level of love. They have received God's love in their hearts as well. They possess a love relationship with Jesus Christ given to them as a gift from God. A husband and wife, they acknowledge that love is from God. He freely gives his love to them. He gives, they receive, because Jessica and Scott love Jesus. His love defines their marriage. In marriage, they will love one another better and better as they love God first. Well, that's interesting. How many times can you fit the word love into 8 paragraphs? Well, that was quite a few times. Well, this site starts out that way and then moves into, do you understand why marriage is ordained by God and why it has nothing to do with the state? Well, a couple who understands this covenant marriage demonstrates the following. God gets credit for all his love. He receives honor and glory from the free gift of his love. His husband and wife rely on God's love above all and express his love to each other. As a couple loves God, he reveals his covenant for their marriage relationship. And to find out more about how your marriage can experience rejuvenation and become a true covenant relationship, read Covenant versus Contract, Experiencing God's Blessing in and Through Your Marriage by Dave Brown and Phil Waugh. Well, this marriage masterpiece idea in the covenant marriage site here does not go far enough as far as I'm concerned. It's all right. Everything they said is great and good general stuff. The problem is they do not go into how you can marry without the state. Because one thing you need to do, folks, if you're going to be true to the Word of God, is ditch the marriage license. Now, I'm not saying you have to divorce and then get remarried with a covenant. You know, if you've done the deed already in the past, it's done. But we need to encourage people to marry without the permission of the state. The state should not be involved in any marriage. And this site doesn't go quite far enough, and I give you the site again, it's covenantmarriage.com. It does not go far enough in defining that not only is marriage a contract and a covenant between a man and a woman before God, but that contract can be made before witnesses and specify all sorts of things about the disposition of property, about the guardianship and care of children, nurture in the marriage, and so forth, and be handled completely by the church. The church's role is to oversee, support marriage, not the state. There's nowhere in the scripture that ordains the state to do this, and it's only since 1930 that states have begun to, or maybe since the mid-1920s, begin to deal with states and or with marriage and its licensing. In the 19th century, the only time that a license was ever granted was when you had interracial marriage between, for instance, a black and a white person. Other than that, you did not have any kind of marriage licensing at all until the time, basically, of Franklin Roosevelt. So bear that in mind and realize that Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, the Apostle Peter, Anselm, and all sorts of other people throughout history did not have a marriage license. It's not required biblically to have a marriage license. It's an aberration that's caused by the state, the current state that we have. And it's a way for them to intrude into your lives in a way they should not be intruding into your lives. Did you know that sometimes even the state can claim that it's the third member in your bedroom and therefore has an interest, a special interest in the children that are created through your marriage, and therefore they have the right to take them out of your home? It's serious, folks. The whole theory of the state being involved with marriage is a bad deal. Well, here Ann Coulter comes out swinging at Roe and Bush. WorldNet Daily columnist Ann Coulter's latest column, just posted at WorldNetDaily.com, takes President Bush and architect Karl Rove to task for consistently backing Republicans for office that don't hold conservative values. Coulter writes, "This year Bush is backing developmentally disabled Lincoln Chafee over the only Republican in the race, Stephen Laffey, Harvard MBA and mayor of Cranston, Rhode Island. Chafee opposes Bush on taxes, Iraq, abortion, and gay marriage. This man is literally too stupid to know that he's a Democrat. If Chafee hadn't inherited hundreds of millions of dollars, he would be living in a shack tending weeds. In the last election, Chafee famously refused to vote for Bush, instead writing in Bush's father." Well, that wasn't much better, but anyway, well, I guess it was somewhat better. I don't know. It's hard to measure, you know, evil when you've got to deal with evil. Which one's more evil, less evil? That's evil, it's evil. Yes, I even said the E word when it's Bush in my voice. How can I be so insensitive? I don't know. I'm just telling people the truth. What else can you do? Venezuela begins preparations to accept American war refugees as the United States military leaders prepare to close all borders and enact a total police state. This is coming from the Libertarian Party, forward by Beckworks. That means Rebecca Sutherland. So you take it for what it's worth when she sends you something. It's usually interesting. Well, this is written by Sorcha Fall, and as reported by to her Russian subscribers, Russian intelligence sources are reporting this week that Venezuelan President Chavez has ordered his government ministries to begin preparations for the orderly processing of American war refugees that will soon be attempting to flee the United States during the upcoming closing of their borders to prevent their citizens from escape. Not since the events of last century's great wars has the world even had to contemplate such a massive movement of people fleeing a dictatorial and fascist regime. And history has shown was not met by the world's governments with any kindness, but rather disdain, perhaps of many thousands of examples of those times of the plights of the German war refugees of the SS St. Louis, and etc. So this one's actually saying that that America's about to close its borders, but it's not to keep out illegal immigrants. They're going to use this tact to keep people in, like they did with the Berlin Wall. Could be. I don't know. Do you have a comment about that? Give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try the backup line if that first number doesn't work, and you can try us there at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview, stimulating talk radio, helping you think better. Glad you've joined us this morning, and we're going to be back after this final break in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today, and this is the final segment of the Christian Worldview show today. From the research staff, hot off the press, we have a couple other interesting stories. Here, Friday release, September 23rd, 2005, The Growing Anti-Porn Bookshelf. The Washington Post have reported and then mocked plans at the FBI to put a few field agents on pornography prosecutions. One unnamed FBI agent who, according to the Post, was awarded anonymity since poking fun at headquarters is not regarded as career-enhancing, derided the idea, saying, "I guess that means we've won the war on terror." The Post reporter also recycled jokes made at FBI headquarters, such as, "Things I Don't Want on My Resume, Volume 4, and I've already gave at home." Well, here's one quote a little further on. They said, "No one wants to be the father of the unhappy man who can't build a marriage with a three-dimensional woman, or the mother of a manipulated woman who sells her sexuality and her soul to a porn mogul, or the fly-by-night internet webmaster for a chump change." And yet hundreds of thousands of parents faced that predicament because they did nothing to prevent the sewage of pornography from seeping into their homes. And this is a real serious problem. And if David can fall, who are you to think that you can't fall? Most men struggle with either seeing this stuff on the internet once in a while, or having it pushed on them and then intriguing them because it comes through their email and stuff like that. How many of us don't get that stuff come through email? Well, there is we've recently installed in our home something called the Wise Choice filter, and I'll give it a plug for them because it's $5 a month. We used to use this one called N2H2, which was fabulous. Worked great until they stopped installing it at homes. It only works at schools or something now. But if you go to wisechoice.com, sign up for their trial, give them $5 a month, they'll help you customize a filter that just will not permit pornography to come through into your home. I'd recommend you do that. There's no point in either tempting yourself or allowing your kids to be tempted, or your husband or wife for that matter, especially husband, to be tempted by the stuff on there. We're all susceptible, and I just recommend this filter, wisechoice.com. Check it out and see how it might work for your family, because it's a great point that the article made. It's that we're allowing sewage to seep in the home when we allow that stuff. It does not help marriages. It does not help us in any way, even though it might seem pleasant for a season, as Hebrews 12 might say. We all have to fight against it and work against it and promote the Christian worldview instead. Is the answer to solving pornography problems the government? No. There's just no way. The state is equipped to do that, in my view. It's not going to work. It has to be you folks who are preachers to be willing to go out on a limb and tell people that it's sin to do so. And for you yourself as preachers, not to get involved with it. How many preachers have we heard about in recent years who have fallen victim themselves to pornography? Well, make sure that you got your own house cleaned up, get the filter on for yourself, and then go and preach to other people that they need to abandon this, fight against it, and not give in to the sin. Here is an LA Times here's an LA Times story by a lefty named Shear. Let me see if we've got it. Well, the story didn't actually come through, unfortunately. I'm not going to be able to read this. It's the title of the story is "Crony Capitalism is the name of the Republican game." Their slogan is "Take care of your friends and leave the risks of the free market for the suckers." That would be John Q. Public. Well, we got that much of a quotation from it. This is a typical liberal lie, as if the free market is somehow a bad thing and that it sort of brings the suckers out there to get screwed by the monopolists or whatever else who run things. The idea of having a free market precludes monopoly. What's the only way we can have monopoly, folks? Think about it. People fear monopoly. They fear market failures. They fear being manipulated and taken advantage of. Well, take a couple of these things in order here, I guess. What about people taking advantage of someone in the market? What if you build a bad house, or as we read the other day from Thomas DiLorenzo, if you sell a hot dog purported to be 100% beef and it's really got soybeans in it, how long do you last in the market? Well, in the free market, when you have competition and consumers have choices, those people who lie, who do something bad to consumers, who misrepresent their products, they go out of business. They might also get sued, and they might also have financial losses and so forth, but people have to protect their reputation in the market. If you do a bad job, if I were to be recognized in some way as a bad financial planner, or if you and your business were recognized as somehow being corrupt, dishonest, and so forth, people wouldn't come to see you anymore. You work hard to preserve your reputation because it's important. That's why if you do trading on eBay, that little reputation score they give for whether you've had feedback that's negative or positive is so important to sellers. They want to make sure it's 99% or higher so that people know they can trust them and buying from them over the internet. Even one bad feedback remark makes them quiver, and they do whatever they can, if they have a good reputation, that is, to make sure that they don't get that bad score on their record. That's how the free market deals with bad people, with underhanded activity. That's how it handles it. And sure, you're going to have a snake oil salesman or somebody who comes along and rips somebody off for a little while. But in the long run, Those people are weeded out. The world's not perfection. The market doesn't bring perfection. What always brings imperfection and hassles is the state. States bring in regulatory agencies that can be corrupted by the individuals taking bribes, or just corrupted by the fact that the people that run these bureaus do not have the incentive to actually protect consumers. Their goal is to promote their own department, increase their budget size, increase their own prestige and power, and their own promotion. That's their goal when they're running bureaus. They're not there to serve the public primarily. They're there to serve themselves. That's why they took the job. They're serving themselves primarily, and that's what they do. And those bureaus can be manipulated into such a way that it makes market problems worse. It exacerbates problems rather than alleviates them over the long run. And so this is one area where this guy Scheer in the LA Times is completely wrong. The other is the idea of monopoly. Well, monopolists can charge higher prices. In the free market, you know, you can't ever raise your price. If one gas station raises its price, you know, to $15 a gallon, and across the street you get it for $2.89, you're going to go to the one that says $2.89. You're not going to pay $15 a gallon. They can't arbitrarily raise their price. They have to go around, like the story we read yesterday, and actually make sure they're not out of line with the competition. Well, how does someone get a monopoly privilege? If he invents something or brings something to market no one's ever seen before, or no one's ever done it in a way that no one has ever done it before, he can charge a very high price, a monopoly price. But it's in the short run only. Let's suppose you invent something that can be sold for $100 because no one has it. And maybe some special water purification unit. I don't know. It could be anything. And all of a sudden somebody realizes it only cost you, you know, 15 cents to make the item that you're selling. And they said, okay, I'll make it too. And they enter the market and they sell it for 90. And you say, oh, I can't let them undercut me. I'm going to sell it for 85. Then the third person enters and he says, well, I can make that unit for 15 cents and sell it for 70. And before long, it won't be but a matter of 6 months, that price is going to be $2. Or it's going to be a dollar or something like that. It's going to come down from $100. Monopoly, it can only exist in the marketplace in the short run. It cannot exist in the long run unless you have government intervention. And how does government intervene to preserve monopoly price over the long run? It issues permits. It issues licenses or medallions. It issues patents and copyrights. The government also raises tariff barriers to prevent foreign competition. These are the ways that monopoly is created. This is the way that inefficiency exists. So when this guy is talking about how bad the free market is, he's got it all backwards. The evildoer in society, in the economic world, is the interventionist state. And we need to be real clear about that, because that's where the real problem comes down from. At any rate, we have another one final story here coming from our research staff. I want to try to get this up before we go on our way here. The new storm on the right. This is by Robert Scheer. Oh, this is the story. We were trying to read this a minute ago. In light of what I just said, let's go ahead and read what this liberal has to say in the LA Times. Apparently, it took divine intervention from Hurricane Katrina to make George W. Bush, the compassionate conservative, aware of the existence of poor people in our midst. As we clear away the debris of the hurricane, let us go also clear away the legacy of inequality, said a president who has not only overseen nearly 9% income decline for the poorest fifth of the nation, but won the job boasting his record as governor of a state that census figures show has the fifth highest poverty level and the highest percentage of citizens lacking medical insurance. Unfortunately, the president still seems to believe there is severe poverty in New Orleans as an anomaly exposed by the storm, rather than a disturbing national reality he should have long since confronted. If one wishes to take to heart the words of Bishop T. Day Jakes of Dallas, offered before Bush spoke at the National Cathedral on Friday, Katrina, perhaps she has done something in this nation that we needed to have done. She has made us think and look and reach beyond our breach. It is also noted we can no longer be a nation that overlooks the poor and the suffering and continues past the ghetto on our way to the Mardi Gras, or past Harlem for Manhattan, or past Compton for Rodeo Drive. Okay, this kind of liberal tripe is hardly even worth reading, because underlying all of this is some presumption that the state can actually come in with welfare and cure problems, that somehow the redistribution of wealth through higher taxation and through handout programs is going to alleviate poverty. This is a falsehood. This is something that's not true, not only because of the criticism I gave earlier about his misunderstanding of economics and the markets, but because the whole idea of poverty itself is a farce. The poorest people today would have been very rich 100 years ago. And the idea that the poor people are so bad off and need to be helped by the state is absurd. Here's a fundamental reason why, if nothing else. And it's not just based on the fact that Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Because that's a truism. The fact is that as long as someone has more than somebody else, there is going to be a poverty in the world. If I have 15 Mercedes and my friend only has one, and I have three houses and he only has one, even though he's got a Mercedes and a house, he is still poor because I've got more than him. And if everybody in society has at least one Mercedes and everybody owns at least one home and everybody goes out to eat five times a month, at least, no one has less than that, all the people who only go out five times a month are going to be considered poor relative to those who can go out 15 times a month, have, again, 25 different cars, including Lamborghinis and whatever else, and a multitude of homes. You see, poverty is always a relative measure, and these demagogues and others who stand up there and try to play and beat this little drum that we need the state to go in and alleviate this are trying to do something that is completely impossible, absurd, and nonsensical. And it just gets me all riled up when I start talking about this liberal tripe I know. And here we are at 9 o'clock. We've reached the end of the program today for Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us and look forward to having you again tomorrow for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.